Matthew 25. I'm reading from verse 31 to the end of the chapter. It's titled in the New International Version, The Sheep and the Goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. May God grant us understanding as Jason opens this to us now.
Good morning. Morning. I don't quite know how to follow Dan and Nikki. Do you know, there's some things that don't go together. And I was thinking about that, and one of them is like young children and long car journeys don't go together. Me and any kind of power drill don't go together. There's lots of things that don't go together. But there's some things that do go together. And we're just going to have a look at a few things that do go together. Linda. Okay, so what's this? Fish. So what would you say would go with that fish? Well done. And the next one. So what goes with salt? Now, your initial might be fish and chips, salt and vinegar. Brilliant. Can you tell I was hungry when I was thinking about this? And the next one? Tea. I heard somebody say the right one. Biscuits, there you go. You've got to dunk a bit. Hobnobs are the best. However, you won't have any tea left because you just suck the tea in. Right, what's the next one? Heads and tails. And this morning, I want to talk about two things that do go together. And that is faith and action. Faith and action. Our faith has got to produce action. But before we start, I just want to get one thing clear. We're not saved by our actions. We can't work our way into heaven. We can't work our way into God's good books. But it's a free gift. Jesus died on the cross for us, and it's a free gift, and it's given freely to us. So we should give freely back. Our faith has to produce action. Once we accept God into our lives, once we say, Lord, I accept you into my life, forgive me for what I've done wrong, bang, something special happens. We start a new career, we have a new job, and that is we work for God. We work for God, and all he expects is that we do the very best we can for him. And that requires action. Faith needs action. I read a quote, and I can relate to this quote because I like to eat a lot of chocolate. And the quote says that faith is like calories. Faith is like calories. You can't see them, but you can see the results. Our faith, you can't see our faith, but you can see the results of our faith. And through faith, some fantastic stuff happens. Through people actioning their faith, some great things happen. I did a bit of work on the Serve the City, and I was amazed at how many younger people were giving up sunny days to come and dig in the pavements and to put their faith into action to represent God. Their faith was going into action. I remember going up before the family fun day and seeing Ian in the office, and he had this big whiteboard, and there was Google Maps of the car park, and there was like bits and bats of arrows. It was like some kind of investigation, but he had all this stuff there, and it just looked mind-blowingly big. But God had put the desire on him to do that family fun day, and he had actioned that through his faith. And if he hadn't have actioned that through his faith, I would never have nearly died in the football cage. But I also would never have had the privilege of being near the gates when a lady walked out of the family fun day and then came back to say, "Can I have a Bible?" Faith in action produces some great, great stuff. If it wasn't for people in this church and their faith going into action, we wouldn't have a life school being launched now. We wouldn't have Christianity Explored or Alpha courses running. We wouldn't have the Wednesday lunchtime fellowship and a chance to taste Sue's fantastic cakes. We wouldn't have all those things, because all those things are built around people putting their faith into action. But we do drop the ball sometimes. Have you ever seen an advert? Maybe in a church flyer. Volunteer wanted for this or that ministry. And thought, yeah, I'd love to do that, but I haven't really got time right now. I'll put it off. But then never actioned it. You know, what if Jesus came to you personally, face to face, and said, "I want you to join that ministry"? I wonder, would our reaction be different? Ever thought, you know, Forward Free Methodist Church, it's so big, I'd really love to do something. I just feel I should do something within the church, volunteer, serve in some way. But it's so big, and you know, I don't want to make a fool of myself by volunteering for something I may not be that good at. But God puts those desires onto you and wants you to action those desires. Our faith has to produce action. You can't see someone's faith, but you can see the results. Have you ever heard of Undercover Boss on Channel 4? Undercover Boss. It's basically where bosses of big, large companies will go down to grassroots level and work alongside their employees. And by doing that, they get to find out how the company's running, what kind of stuff's going on within the company, who's doing well, who's not doing so well. Do you know, we have an undercover boss, and his name's Jesus, and he sees us 24/7, every single day, what we do. And we read in Matthew 25 about how God will separate the goats from the sheep. And we read, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So who are the sheep and the goats? Who are the sheep and the goats? Well, the sheep, they're the guys that did things. The goats didn't. The sheep, for I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. He was hungry, you fed him. He was thirsty, you gave him water. Action. She needed clothing, you gave her some clothes. Action. He was hungry, you said, well, I hope you find something to eat, but you never fed him. He was thirsty, you said, well, yeah, I really hope you do get some water, but you never gave him water. She was in prison, and you said, one day I'll get around to visiting, but you never did. No action. The sheep, action. Their desires that God has put on their heart. The goats, they don't. Jesus makes it clear that true faith produces action. Someone with true faith will feed the hungry. Someone with true faith will invite a stranger into their home. Someone with true faith will join a ministry. Someone with true faith will volunteer to help. Someone with true faith will give more financially. Whatever God's desire that's been put into you, someone with true faith will action that desire. You know, someone with true faith will compel us to go on missionary trips. We've heard about the Indian missionary trip this morning. And I know for a fact that at least one of those people had been thinking about doing that for a good 5 years. And I know because it's my mum. And she'd thought about it and thought about it, and God had put this desire on her heart to do it. But for 5 years at least, there was excuses or there was reasons not to do it. And then when she did it, I tell you, she came to our house after she got back and told us the entire history within about 2 hours of non-stop talk, and all I got was church, 6 hours in a car, and it was like 100 mile an hour. She was telling us about all this stuff that had happened because she'd actioned the desire that God had put on her heart. We heard Ruth talking about, you know, that she worries. But she joined in. She came to sing, to worship, to lead the singing in worship. As tough of a decision it may have been for her to do that, because it is quite nerve-wracking coming up here, she did it because God had put that desire on her heart to do it. So she actioned it. Our faith must produce action. James chapter 2, 14 to 17 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, be well fed,' but does nothing about it, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. A faith without action, I've used this before, it's like a broken pencil, it's pointless. There's no point in it. James is saying it. A faith without action is dead. You know, I can stand and look at a lift and think, right, I know, I have faith that that lift can take me to the second floor. But if I just stand there and wait, it's not going to take me anywhere. I've got to walk over, press the button, wait for it to come down, step through the door, press number two, wait until it gets to the top, step back out, and I'm there. Our faith has got to produce action. Because when we accept God into our lives through faith, something special happens. We become new. The old desires that we used to have aren't important. And our only desires are now to love, honor, and serve God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here." We have new desires. We have new motives. And that's to honor God. Philippians 2, 13. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according, in order to fulfill his good purpose." God who works in you to will and to act. God puts desire in us, but we have to action them. We have to action them because Jesus tells us very clearly in Matthew 25 that he will separate the goats from the sheep. How does he differentiate the goats from the sheep? The sheep have a true faith that leaks out in their actions. The goats may have even said, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." But their actions or lack of actions has betrayed that. Let me say again, we're not saved by our actions. We're not saved by the good stuff that we do. But a true faith produces actions. So I wonder what desire has been untapped in your hearts this morning? What has God put on your hearts this morning and is saying, "Can you action that for me, please?" It may not have just been put on this morning. It may be a desire that's been there for years. But God's saying, "Action that this morning." Is it something that might take you out of your comfort zone? We use comfort zones so much, but very rarely step out of it. But is it something that may take you out of your comfort zone? Is it to give more financially? Is it to join a ministry? What has God put on your hearts this morning that he wants you to do for him to help build his kingdom? It may be there's no specific desire there. And can I encourage you to pray and ask for that desire to be for God to give you that desire? Because you know, it's amazing to think that the God that created the stars, the God that created the mountains, the sea, the world, wants us to work for him. That's amazing. Are you sitting here this morning thinking, do you know what? I know what that desire is, but I don't know what to do about it. I don't know if I make a fool of myself. I'll tell you, I and many will agree, have made a fool of myself for God and will continue to do so. I'm quite happy to do that for God. What desire has God put on you this morning? Because if we, as individuals, action our desires, have a faith of action, do you know we can have an impact on our friends? We can have an impact on our families. We can have an impact on our work colleagues. We can have an impact on our neighbours. If we are Christians with faith that is leading into action. And when we join together as a church of action, we already have an impact in India. We already have an impact in Kibagora, in South America with Panda Vida. We already have an impact in Preston, in Fulwood. But who knows where God wants us and wants to take us to have an impact as a church of action, a church that has faith, that produces action. And then when we meet God, when we're walking towards him, he'll say, you know what? You get to my right. That's where you belong. You belong with the sheep. You get to my right. You did a great job. Can we pray? And as we pray, can we just ask God to reveal what it is that desire is and maybe reflect and think, what is it that God's asking you to action this morning? Dear Lord, we thank you that you give us the gift of salvation freely, Father. We give thanks that you're a loving and caring God. Lord, we're humbled and honoured when we think that you, who created the stars and the oceans, want us to do something for you. Lord, we recommit this morning, right now, to love, honour, and serve you, Father. And we pray this morning that we'll discover what it is you want us to do. That we'll realise the God-given desire that's in us individually this morning, Father. But not only that, Lord, that we will action those desires, Father, because we want to do the best we can for you, Lord. In your name, amen.